Welcome to Between Heaven and Earth, an internet radio talk show where we help you connect spirit and divine guidance. Lisa Kay, your host, brings you shows that can enhance and transform your life with tips and new ideas for more happiness, abundance, and better relationships. Lisa is an expert on intuition and can show you how to strengthen your inner guidance to empower yourself. Each show is positive and uplifting to inspire your day. Her guest speakers are specialists on self-help, positive thinking, spirituality, and conscious living. Be the best that you can be with Between Heaven and Earth, conscious living for your soul.
And angel blessings to everyone. Our show today is called Dear Human, A Message from Your Heart. Now, a few years ago, Courtney A. Walsh posted an unusual meme on Facebook. And in case you might not know, a meme is something that is copied and spread rapidly over the internet. And the first words of Courtney's meme were, quote, "Dear human." It went viral and it's been seen more than 20 million times. And it became, and still is, as she puts it, quote, "a starseed that blazed to the earth in its little spaceship of words." It seems to stir the cells of both the individual, the collective consciousness, and, you know, agitate some ancient and future memory of what love really is. She then wrote a book called Dear Human, which grew out of the viral message. And Courtney says the book has come about as a result of thousands and thousands of people all over the world consistently and enthusiastically asking for it. I've been told that I speak directly to people's spirits and hearts. So let me tell you a little bit about Courtney before I bring her on. Courtney A. Walsh is a social media rock star, a metaphysical humor author, internationally renowned speaker and writer of Dear Human, the viral media meme that has now been shared with over 20 million people, including Deepak Chopra's and Elizabeth Gilbert's pages, as well as retweeted by Khloe Kardashian and the radio personality Delilah. Welcome, Courtney. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Wow. So yeah. And Dear Human. So I didn't know what a meme was, so I had to go look it up.
I know, right? People say, is it a meme? What is it?
Is it a meme? It's spelled like meme. So it's interesting, but you know, we all know what these memes are. They're basically viral media, and it just goes in. And, you know, I think people try to make it happen. They try to make that, you know, things post go viral and it doesn't work. And then, you know, sometimes it happens and it's like just unbelievably amazing. So
like the Chewbacca lady.
I know. She was like 100 million or something. And then my God, she ended up on like, what's his name? James Corden's show. And oh my gosh. And the Today Show. And you could really hit it big. I think you have to get like, 50 million or something like that.
But I have to correct my publicity info is not up to date, so it really is at about 50 million right now.
Oh, okay. Awesome. So maybe you're next on
You never know.
Today's show. Yeah. You never know. We'll be talking to Matt Lauer. So I tell you what, why don't could you do us a favor and read the Dear Human meme for us?
Absolutely. I'd be
okay. So people
honored.
Know what it is in case, you know, sure. They're not one of the 50 million who've seen it.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so I try to catch my breath before I read it. And dear human, you've got it all wrong. You didn't come here to master unconditional love. That is where you came from and where you'll return. You came here to learn personal love, universal love, messy love, sweaty love, crazy love, broken love, whole love, infused with divinity, lived through the grace of stumbling, demonstrated through the beauty of messing up often. You didn't come here to be perfect. You already are. You came here to be gorgeously human, flawed and fabulous, and then to rise again into remembering. But unconditional love, stop telling that story. Love, in truth, doesn't need any other adjectives. It doesn't require modifiers. It doesn't require the condition of perfection. It only asks that you show up and do your best, that you stay present and feel fully, that you shine and fly and laugh and cry and hurt and heal and fall and get back up and play and work and live and die as you. It's enough. It's plenty.
Wow.
I still get wow.
And I'm reading it as you're saying it too, and it's got so much in there. So where did this come from? Why did you write it?
Yeah. So it definitely, I say that it tapped me on the shoulder and came through me because I need it the most.
So would you say it's quote channeled or?
Absolutely. 100%. I have no problem admitting that. Everything
I think that's great.
Yeah, everything I write is pretty much a full transmission that comes through complete.
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel like I just take dictation. I get myself in alignment for it.
Mm-hmm.
I do the inner kind of ruminating and processing and bounce the ideas around, but then I just open up and it falls in and I type it out.
So this is a message from some divine source, I would say. If we take it as that, then did it just like pop up one day? Was it inspired? Did something happen that it needed to come?
Yeah. It sounded like it was my life. I think I'd hit mm-hmm. this frustration wall with myself and my friends and family and all of us beating ourselves up. I got really kind of fed up with the perfectionism that I felt like I had been carrying my whole life, or the people pleaser or the control freak, or all these versions where we just never feel good enough, or we feel like, you know, sometimes we swing between the extremes of not good enough or too much to handle, right? Mm-hmm. So you just don't ever feel like you hit that sweet spot of, you know what, I'm okay. I'm here to not be perfect. I'm not here to be this divine, holy, shining, radiant being 24/7. I'm here to be human. I came as a ball of light into a body to experience all that is human. And so there's something about that that I needed and that gave me a huge inner sort of sigh of relief and a shoulder slump in a good way of, wow, what a wonderful and liberating epiphany. And that's what it seems to be for most people.
Yes, and I think that... And also, it's about love. That is, I guess, what it's saying is that, and you have to correct me if I'm wrong, but that is what we are.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, I feel there's a lot of misconceptions around that word,
yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, and that we even try to do love or get love right, or that we, you know, and then you can get into subcategories like forgiveness and compassion and kindness. And that's all great. It's like all well-intentioned and from the heart and people mean well. But if there's a conditioning to it, if there's a should behind it, if it's an obligation, if it's a guilt-driven thing, then it really takes itself out of the realm of the pure essence of it.
Right.
Yeah.
What was the response you got? Were people writing you? Did they, you know, comment, I guess, on what were the things that people were, how did they react?
Well, so the cool twist of magic that I'm sure you'll appreciate is the backstory is I was in Scotland on a date with a guy I'd been online dating for a while, and we were going to have
Scotland.
Our first kind of, yeah, Scotland. Well, he was from England. He's like, I want to go travel the Scottish islands, and you want to come with me? I was like, sure, let's do it. So this was going to kind of be our first date, and it was going to be a 3-week trip with someone that you've known, you know, over Skype and over Facebook and the phone, but that you haven't really met physically in person yet. So we took the leap, and we both, you know, felt at the time we were just crazy about each other and that it was going to be amazing. And many parts of it really were. And then other parts we realized we just weren't compatible in some fundamental areas. So that was okay. But I was over there and he had bought us these tickets to a concert at Findhorn, which I had always read about being this intentional community in Scotland that I think I had envisioned, I had read about it in the 80s and 90s and about how they used to pray over their vegetables, and these vegetables would grow to be like the size of small children. They'd have
I didn't know that.
Yeah, go look it up. It's the coolest thing. So I would be like, wow, that's so cool. Energy and intention and people coming together to, you know, work and meditate and do music and art and whatever. And so I kind of envisioned it almost as this sort of hippie commune type place, but it was actually very high end and beautiful and ritzy. And so we went and camped there and saw a concert that was just ethereal. There were, you know, women singing this angelic celestial stuff. And I was in heaven. I was, you know, just really in a really great place. And it started going viral back home while I was away. So we didn't have steady, access to internet. And I would get, you know, here and there we'd be at an internet cafe and people like, have you seen this? It's really, it's blowing up. It's going crazy. And it doesn't have your name on it. And I was like, oh my God, finally, I've been writing 20 years and now something goes crazy and it doesn't have my name on it. Are you kidding? What a sick joke is that?
There's a reason for everything.
Oh, I know. And so absolutely. Right. So everybody started tagging me in it. My friend wrote this. Courtney A. Walls wrote this. Blah, 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 blah. And some friends were kind enough to make, you know, graphics that did have author credit on it, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so he and I were traveling and having these amazing experiences and kind of learning a lot and growing. And it was just popping back at home. So I still kind of maintain that if you really want to go viral, fall in love. Because look at Chewbacca Lady. She fell in love with that freaking mask and was so joyful. That, you know, like I was in, you know, looking at sheep and double rainbows and the Scottish countryside and
yeah, maybe it had something to do with Findhorn.
And Findhorn has its own magic, right? So fast forward to when I was shopping it around to publishers, I got some good attention from some really high level people who read it and loved it, and but they wanted to tweak some things here and there, and I really felt that it needed to sort of stay intact in its original form. And then I got like a 4 a.m. email from Findhorn saying, is it still available? We want it. So Findhorn Press is the one who picked it up.
And they're the ones who published the book. And it's an awesome book. Well, we're going to go to break.
Yes.
And we'll come back and listen and talk more to Courtney A. Walsh. So hang in there. Stay with us.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on Old Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on oldtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go.
Yeah!
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
And welcome back. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio and on the OM Times Radio Network. And we are also out on Facebook at facebook.com/betweenheavenandearth. And if you are interested in asking a question, that's probably the best way to ask us is you can go to that Facebook page, Between Heaven and Earth, and you can post it under the show post, which today is called Dear Human, A Message from Your Heart. And I'll try to keep an eye on it and see if there's a question out there. Or you could post it later, and we can always try to get an answer for you if you're listening to the archives. And we're sitting here talking to Courtney A. Walsh, and she is talking to us about her Dear Human meme that went viral, over 50 million shares, and now is a book. And Courtney, you were telling us that the book is published by Findhorn Press.
Yeah.
Which is a wonderful publisher. They're my publisher, too. I love them. They're
awesome.
Actually, I want to go, now that you're talking about their space over there in Scotland, I want to go see it.
Oh,
feel it.
Love it.
Be there.
Yeah. It's tremendous. Really.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Great. So you're telling us your story about that they have taken up the book. And that's a good segue into the book. Why don't you tell us, so how do you go from the meme to a book?
People keep irritating you and saying, when are you going to write a book? When are you going to write a book?
Okay. And then you go, okay. Yeah, what do you write it on? I mean, do you continue to meme?
I do, yeah, all the time, actually. But I just deconstructed the ideas in the meme and made them chapters. So it was kind of like crazy, sweaty, messy love and universal love, and all the different pieces became sections. Mm-hmm. So once I had that kind of, I call them crown loads. Once I had that crown load, then it was easy. It was like it wrote itself. And I have to say, they really did a great job of keeping everything intact and doing just a little polishing and tweaking. And I'm really happy with how it came out. So it's just out newly. You know, it's in the bookstores now and on Amazon. And it's just fresh off the market since March.
It's a great book. It's not that... It's concise, so it's good, and it's a nice read, so it's very it's easy to read, which is good. I wanted to actually, there was one of the sections in here, section 6, Rise Again into Remembering. What could you tell us a little bit about that? That kind of piqued my curiosity.
The phrase itself, you mean?
Yeah.
What is it? Yeah, so people ask about that one a lot. That's funny.
Oh, is that funny?
Yeah.
It just kind of popped out at me.
Yeah, they're like, what does that mean? I feel like when we come to the planet, we take on the veil of amnesia, right? We come to, mm-hmm. you know, kind of forget our past incarnations and lessons and karma and just to focus on this particular timeline and whatever, you know, our soul is looking for to both give and glean from this experience. So we come here kind of like a blank slate, even though we have cellular memory, we have cosmic memory, we have ancestral, we have all kinds of past life stuff will pop up, or maybe it's alternate life or timeline, or maybe it's just like brainwashing from too much TV. and so what I mean by rise into remembering is, you know, if people have said, well, is this from God? Is it from source? Is it from the angels? Is it from you? And I would say it's probably from source and from my higher self. Okay. And so I have this friend, she's really brilliant. And she has followed this guy who you can't even find anymore. I think he was like a precursor to Seth/Jane Roberts. And then we've got
that's going really way back.
Yeah, his name's Bernard, and he's from Canada.
I thought you were going to say Edgar Casey.
No, yeah, he's awesome too, the Sleeping Prophet, love him. And so she talks about superconsciousness, and so we have these amazing long sitting by the river chats about this, and so it makes sense to me, and that we are kind of like these balls of light, that we whiz around the multiverse, and the goal of this whole being human thing is to be able to merge. She calls it your double. People would call it your soul, your spirit, your higher self. To merge and fuse with your double and then whiz around the multiverse without losing cosmic memory. Okay?
Okay.
So keeping that cosmic... So what really probably psychics, intuitives, mediums, what we probably are is people who came in with just a bit less amnesia and more cosmic memory.
ability and to connect, right? Connect.
Yeah, just a little bit easier to kind of tune the dial. Doesn't mean everybody doesn't have the capacity or the ability. It just means some have it a little more developed, a little bit more advanced, you know, a little bit more faster. Like mm-hmm. we were talking about DSL and dial-up, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of like that because I remember as a kid just kind of knowing stuff or anticipating or having precognitive moments or dreams or, yeah, and then it kind of coming to fruition, and I was always fascinated by the fortune tellers and the psychics and the card readers and the mediums and the palm readers. And, you know, my sister, who's, God bless her, is very different than me, would go off and want to be doing the rides or running around and, you know, playing, being very physical, and I would be kind of off in the corner with a book reading about all this stuff as a kid, as a teen, as a 20-something, you know, or finding these people and kind of almost interviewing them. And I, for a long time, kind of called myself the skeptic psychic because I wanted proof. And I wanted something that beyond a shadow of a doubt would show me that, you know, and it's not like I was necessarily very scientifically minded. I was probably always more spiritually minded. But I wanted, you know, to know, like everyone comes in with that, wanting to know the bigger picture, wanting to understand beyond theories, beyond philosophy, to have a up close and personal
experience. Yeah, don't you think if you really know, then you could, I mean, that was the way I looked at it when I was, you know, young too. I think I was 8 when I
went to know. Yes, that's around the age, like 8 or 9.
Right? Yeah. What is, if I knew why I was here, then I could live a good life, right? Because otherwise you're missing the whole boat.
You feel like you're shooting blanks in the dark sometimes. Otherwise, like you're trying to crack a code that you know, and that you know, you know, it's like that when a word is on the tip of your tongue.
It's like, what is it now? I know I'm supposed to remember something.
Yeah, what was that?
We were around a big table.
Yes.
And it was like, planning. You know, out up there, and then they, and we said, and we agreed, and then I was supposed to go get born and
do stuff with people.
And I forgot.
Exactly. And then boom. Wiped out, like, you know, shock therapy will just wipe your brain out. And I can say that jokingly because I had it. So.
Well, you know, I sometimes I feel like it myself.
Well, that's the other thing I think that, and you'll probably relate to this or your audience members, you know, psychics, intuitives, mediums, whatever the heck we call ourselves, indigos, whatever the label du jour is, we often feel crazy as we start to awaken and as we start to rise into that remembering, as we start to drop the veils of forgetting and the amnesia kind of starts to go away and then the big picture starts to come back and it can really overwhelm and fry circuits sometimes.
And you know, and I find it fascinating just to know, because I'm infinitely curious, I want to know, well, what is that?
Yeah.
And, you know, and if it's meant to, if we're meant to have it, if we're meant to have these intuitive psychic skills, as some people call it, then what do we do with it? Is it really real? Because there are a lot of people, obviously, that don't believe in it, which sometimes frustrates me because, like, well, you know, there's a lot of evidence there. And I guess when you've experienced it, then you go, oh, okay, there really is something. So then what do we do? You know, what do we do with it? So what have you got an answer for that? Or
yeah, I'm really glad you asked that. That's actually my favorite question so far of all these interviews, because if it isn't practical or applicable to your everyday life, what's the
exactly
point?
Why bother? Just leave it on the paper.
Mm-hmm. So I feel it can help us, having a sort of level of spiritual awareness or consciousness can help us with our emotional maturity and development. If we tune in to that, and I find it really shows up very strongly in the heart and belly. So if we tune into those areas, if you want to call them chakras, call them chakras. If you just want to call them energy centers or whatever, you can call it your abdomen and your cardiac region. I don't care. Uh-huh. Right. But you'll tune into, if, for example, I think in women oftentimes, and this is by no means a sweeping generalization, just what I've noticed from my own personal research, women, it will happen in the womb. It will open and close like a fist and a hand. Mm-hmm. And our bellies tighten up when we're in fight or flight or freeze. And then often with men or masculine identified people, it happens more in the chest. And their heart will sort of open and close like a fist or an open hand. So that to me is what you would call your BS detector or your truth detector. Or when people get, they call them truth bumps or chill bumps or goosebumps. Mm-hmm. And you feel something on a cellular level that it just really resonates deeply as, wow, that's true for me. Or that feels right. Or that feels good. So it's what I feel that all the spiritual seeking and searching and intellectual, you know, knowledge, wisdom acquiring is leading us to is tuning in to the human animal, the body, the vehicle, the energy field. And there's so many cool applications for that, for medicine, for, you know, nutrition, well-being, for cancer. Like, let's just be outrageous here. Like, for,
or
you know,
anything.
Anything.
And then just, bringing you all kinds of wonderful, you know, manifestations. Well, I'm all about that. I mean, that's kind of why I wanted to. I love, so, you know, we could talk forever about this, which we probably will.
awesome.
But yeah, because, you know, I wanted to say that you were talking about women feel it, you know, in their, I guess, their lower gut or their.
The womb space.
The womb space. There. Yeah. And, and that whole area for me has always been super sensitive, and and I never realized it. But now that you mention it, it really it starts to connect even more, especially if it's a, more of a woman thing. I never thought about that.
Well, and you know, I'm kind of going with shamanic perspective, you know, and again, my own, you know, kind of questioning and research. Like, I'll ask guys, where do you feel it? When women can actually sometimes feel it in the third eye and crown, like, so they'll get migraines or headaches if they're pinching off their. They're, you know, the information is kind of tapping on them to try to get through, and they're blocking it. They're literally just not ready for that to kind of come in and down and all the way through. And I feel like men can sometimes become impotent. So we've got all this Viagra and Cialis and what have you, and it will shut down that chakra for men if something is, if they're stressed, if they're worried, if they feel they have to perform, if they feel like they're criticized. You know, and and so it's just, it's the application of what is the point of all this spiritual seeking and searching is to make your life better as a human being, for to understand your energy and how it shows up in your life, your day-to-day body, physical life.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I think when
like Louise Hay's done amazing work with that, right?
Oh, yeah, she's wonderful. And you know, I think when you're connected to that, then life, you can get all the things that you're looking for, because you're getting the information from source, from divine guidance. And it's specifically just for you, which I think.
Yes. Yeah. It's bio-individual. I love that word.
Is it? Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Bio-individual. So it's very specific to your energy field, your programs, your patterns, your DNA, your cellular memory, your karmic and cosmic choices.
It's your thing. Absolutely.
And that's going to be
awesome stuff.
You know, on the cover of Time magazine sometime soon, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
We're going to go to break again. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this. We'll love this. I know, because it's really fast. Yeah. Be right back. Stay with us.
Okay, cool.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
And welcome back. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio. And We're here talking to Courtney A. Walsh, and we're at our half hour mark, and that's the time when we usually tell you where you can get more information from our about our guest and some of the things that they are doing and what I'm doing. So I'll go first. I'll let you know that you can reach me at lmk88.com. That's my website. And I have a lot of, actually, I'm adding some things there. And what I'm trying to do is kind of coalesce all the material that I have that's kind of spread out amongst the internet and put it under one umbrella. So it's still out amongst the internet, but we're going to have basically beef up the blog posts and also the podcast. We're morphing that podcast into, it's going to include Between Heaven and Earth, the radio show we've been doing since 2008. So we're in our eighth year. But I've had, you know, people requesting that they would like to have better access, and we're going to have all kinds of different variety of podcast topics and show, I guess, show genres and things like that. But it'll still be within the theme of my favorite, which is intuition and everyday spirituality and how to live a better life and all kinds of really good things that, and metaphysics, which that's, you know, one of the things that I love to learn about. So you can go over and take a look. Just check it out and see how things are coming about. We're really growing over at lmk88.com. Those are my initials. That also started a long time, way before the radio show. That was like, I think, in 2004. But it's still here, lmk88.com. That's where you can get me, Lisa Kay. And let me tell you about our guest, Courtney A. Walsh, and where you can reach her. She's also very much on the internet. You can get her at courtneyawalsh.com. That's C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y-A, Walsh, W-A-L-S-H.com. And also at squeezingthestars.com, as well as her book website, which is dear-human.com. Courtney, did I get all that right?
Yeah, the Courtney A. Walsh one is the professional writer side. I haven't updated in years, but it's fine if people want to go check that out.
Well,
it's kind
you
of
never
fun.
Know. They yeah, might exactly. want you to write for them.
That's right. It could be. You never know.
Yeah, absolutely. And the book is called Dear Human, A Manifesto of Love, Invitation, and Invocation to Humanity, published by Findhorn Press. We love them. And you can get this, as I think, as you mentioned, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores, Findhorn Press, and so on. Any? Did I miss any?
I believe it's in some places in Canada, too. And it's, yeah. So
nice. So yeah, we have listeners out in Canada.
Mm-hmm. The best one is the Dear Human website, which is dear-human.com. So that's cool.
Okay, great. Yeah, so go there and find out more about the book. The book is wonderful. There was actually getting back to the book, but I'm going to get back to sort of connecting as well, because we both probably could talk about that forever.
It's all human. It's all good.
It's good stuff. I mean, it's part of it. I think, you know, one of the things that I have friends that, dear friends, really close dear friends, don't believe in this stuff. Not the big stuff, but just the intuition stuff. And it's mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, and one of those close friends, she has intuitive experiences all the time. But it's kind of like a cognitive dissonance thing, you know.
Yes.
It's like she can't like agree to accept it, because, you know, otherwise she'd feel weird.
Yeah. I found I was in corporate for 20 years, and I did a lot mm-hmm. of explaining, educating. I never wanted to convince or convert, but I did, you know, people did ask me what I do, and I was doing, and still sometimes do, home parties where I do, you know, card readings or mediumship mm-hmm. or just connecting to people's energy, doing Reiki, whatever. And so I would always, you know, try to approach it with, okay, this is just this thing I do. It doesn't have to be weird. Or, and I think because I was so matter of fact and articulate about it, people were like, huh. And, you know, I, at first, kind of when I was defensive about it, I attracted a lot of people who were like, well, I don't believe in that, or that's a bunch of crap. Mm-hmm. And then as I got more confident and comfortable, those people started to spin away, and I got more people where it was like, that's cool, or I'm interested, tell me more. So it was cool.
I was surprised that, I used to do angel readings. I don't do them anymore, but I still love angels. Angels are awesome. In fact, we're going to have Isabel von Falwa back next week to talk about angels, but even talking about angels, people kind of, some people, not everybody, some people go, oh, I love angels. Tell me more about them. And then other people are like, really? It's kind of weird. But there's, you know, angels are, you would think, well, they're in the Bible, right? So it should be okay. People get a little funny, but I wish there were more people like you and me. And I think you and I are similar in that, you know, we're down to earth grounded people that, and you know, I hear this all the time, and it's like, well, and that makes it more okay for others. It's like, well, if you guys believe in it, then, you know, it's not too woo woo, right?
Yeah. I try to be playful with it. Like I went, oh my God, this was the really funny one. I went to like a little Italian restaurant where the woman who owned it wanted me to come in and just do readings for her friends. So it was kind of a private party, and her son was there, and he was kind of like a Mario kind of a dude. And he's like, I don't believe in what you do. I think it's a bunch of, you know, nonsense. I don't believe in you. I said, that's okay. I don't believe in you either. Well, and the whole place started cracking up. And she's like, oh, they got you. You know, they were like, she got you. You know, oh, he just God. Laughed because he did not expect that. He thought he was going to shame me, embarrass me, or make me feel small. And I just went right back at him and was like, I don't need you to believe in me. I know who I am and why I'm here. And these people want, you know, me to connect for them so that, you know, you don't get a reading. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it wouldn't work anyway because, you know, you probably just, you know, pull all your energy in and then nobody's going to read you.
No, and, you know, in all the readings I've done, and they probably are up in the thousands now, I've only had to say to two people, I'm sorry, I can't read you. And the reason being that they were so closed off and defensive and angry that they didn't want to be there, and a friend had either dragged them or they just were so on the attack that I was like, you know, I don't want to waste my time or yours. Let's forget it.
Oh, yeah. Well, sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story. This was the first, one of the first times I read for the public years ago. And it was in New York City, and I sat down, and this guy comes over, he sits down in front of me for his reading. I didn't know it at the time, but his wife dragged him there. Thank God I didn't know. So he's sitting in front of me, and he's this muscular dude, he's tan, just imagine this, right? He's got the black t-shirt, tight black t-shirt on, and he's sitting there, he's got one hand on his hip, and he's slumped back, and he's got, okay. And he's like, you know, go ahead. And so I started to read for him, and I was at that time back, I basically was getting some stuff that I thought was way out there. And I always tell people, like, if, you know, when I teach people how to do this, that you get what you get, you don't get upset. And so what I was getting was that he loved to make music, that he loved to actually create it. And I'm thinking, well, this guy, he looks like, you know, he's going to go out and play baseball, football, you know, I mean, what music? And I said, you know, and there I'm getting that the angels are telling me to tell you that you should go and keep doing it. And his face changed, and he said, well, and he kind of lowered his voice. He said, well, you know, not many people know this, but he says, I'm actually a composer.
That's awesome.
And he says he's a closet composer. He says, and he doesn't do this for a living,
but I love that.
He does it at night, and his wife gets really upset.
Busted.
And I know. And I was like, oh my God. And so that kind of, he kind of got scared after that. And then he was like, oh my gosh.
You can freak people out. Like, I'll just, what's with the red balloons?
Thank God it doesn't always happen and, that way. Yeah. Right.
Really specific and crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's not what it's about, but you know,
no.
But that, I thought it was really funny. Thank God I didn't know that he was dragged there. He was, he wasn't a cynic, but he was a skeptic.
Well, he wasn't dragged by the wife. He was dragged by his own higher self and the angelic realm.
Must be. Don't you think?
Wife was just the one who nagged him into
the
drag. You
know? Yeah. Well, let's exactly. Oh, that's so true. And that kind of gets into what a, oh my gosh. I can see his face now.
I can see his face too. I've met that guy. I've met 20 of that guy. Oh. You know what? Actually, I had a really cool experience, I should say, with this guy who was like 29, 30. And he came and he sat with me and he booked an hour and he ended up staying 3. And he took 9 pages of notes. And then as he gets up, he's leaving. And he you know, is in psychology and very science-oriented. And definitely we got into metaphysics and pretty heavy and deep. And he's like, well, I can't say I'm a true believer or a convert, but I can say that was the most notes I ever took in undergrad, graduate, or my PhD program. And I was like, then I win.
Oh, absolutely.
Not that it's about winning, but it's sometimes about winning.
Oh, yeah, totally. Funny. I don't know what he's going to do with all those notes. But, you know, people, that goes back to that cognitive dissonance. You know, he believes, but he couldn't say it. He couldn't admit it.
Well, he wants to believe, and yes, nobody actually wants to be a cynic or a skeptic. You know, like I know when I was feeling frustrated and like I couldn't get answers, I wanted the answers. I wanted to believe. I just didn't have the hope or the, you know, or I felt, you know, there are some people who are so angry they feel like that there's only charlatans and quacks out there to take advantage of you and that there's nobody who really has these skills or gifts or that it's all just a bunch of nonsense and that you have to be a sucker to fall for any of it. And that's just, that is limiting and kind of crazy to
but
me.
I think that's, you know? That's exactly it. I mean, I think, I don't consider myself woo-woo, but you know, I consider myself actually more of a scientist. That was my background is science and engineering. And I want to know how the world works. I want to know, and you can't, I was just thinking about this the other day. If you close your mind off, if you, just absolutely say no, never, then you really, like you said, you've limited yourself to maybe some wonderful possibilities out there that could change your life. And, and you know.
And science and spirituality at the end of the day are both just different forms of magic. They really are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's true. Well, mm-hmm. I always tell people, you know, how you really know that the earth goes around the sun?
You don't, how do we really know anything? I know.
You don't, right, exactly. Well, we could get into whole philosophy there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we're going to go to break in about 40 seconds. But one of the things I think that I thought, I think you started to touch on it was sort of this, you know, as we're going through life, we have certain beliefs and then other people don't believe and then we're all trying our best and then people criticize us and and then, you know, we lose our self-worth. And I think some of your book touches on, you know, what do you do? Like here, I love this. Show up, do your best, feel fully. Could we talk about that when we come back?
Absolutely. Love to.
I think that would be great because I could use that now.
Okay, perfect. Me too.
Yeah. Let's keep that in mind. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about show up, do your best, and feel fully. So hang in there with us. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM-FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
And welcome back to Between Heaven and Earth. And actually, our show today is talking a lot about being between heaven and earth, probably more on earth, but remembering heaven. And I'm Lisa Kay, we're here on the OM Times Radio Network. And we're talking to Courtney A. Walsh. And Courtney, we were going to talk about the section in your book, the book Dear Human, called Show Up, Do Your Best, Feel Fully. I love some of the sub chapters here are nice. Choose your yeses, learn your noes, own your wisdom. These are great. I thought it would be a really nice way to finish up our last segment of the show. It's going so fast. It's just flying right by.
It's fun. I'm really in the zone.
Me too. Yeah. It is. This is good. It's nice. Yeah. Nice. So, yeah.
So show up, do your best to feel fully. I feel this could liberate all of us. I know myself.
Totally. And you know what? I think even more so for people listening to this show, because we tend to be sensitives. We're you know, we want to help people. We want to be nice. We want people to love us. We want it to love them. We want no conflict.
Well, we can feel people's energy when it's open and flowing or when it's tight. And we can feel, again, that belly thing or the heart thing or wherever it shows up, if it's headaches. Like, we can feel when... As empaths, we can feel energy. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. So show up, do your best, feel fully is to not be beating yourself up for what you're feeling, what you're thinking, your authentic reactions. I know there's a lot of great, you know, talk about woo-woo, you know, philosophies about, you know, respond, don't react, and kind of like wanting us to be friggin' saints. And I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way for me.
Yeah, I think for most people it's hard, because then you get you're hurt. Right. And then you hurt even more, and then you think about it, and then you're
like, hurt people, break the cycle, be kind to like 10 people they need the most. And I was like, nope.
No, right. Exactly. But I'm hurting, you know, and then you get angry and you feel like, oh, I have to let it out. And, you know, then you beat up the dog, which is not a good thing.
Exactly.
Or maybe not.
Or you're sneaky sideways. You're totally right.
Right. You yell at your kids.
Yeah. So what I mean by feel fully is just that, like if somebody's coming at me on Facebook, for example, which happened today, and you know, I have to say it doesn't happen as often as it used to, because I'm very aware of, you know, trying to keep my vibrational boundaries up, and that, you know, I want to keep in flow and be, you know, in my own space and not let the haterade not drink it. And yet that's being public. You're out there and you're open to all and sundry. So you still can do your, I love me, I love the world, I love life, and nobody can get in, but you know, they're going to get in. So let's be honest. They're gonna hold
I know. It's like, and sometimes you just like, you're not doing anything, right? Yeah. Like, cause you were on Facebook, and then all, what did I do to deserve that? I didn't do
it. Well,
anything.
I posted five to seven awesome things. And then this one thing that triggered somebody off into a total tantrum and spiral. Somebody who, I might add, will never really share anything or support or like, but when they get triggered, they're the first ones to go, well, you know, and pick a fight. And so those people I now will delete and block immediately, guilt-free. And then the sneaky ones, the really sneaky ones, will come to my business pages and be like, wow, really? Oh, you're so evolved. That's how you handle, you know, conflict or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I don't have time for that. Why do I owe you energy? You know, when I'm putting out all this stuff and you don't agree with it, click on, buddy. Click on. Do us all a favor. Don't stalk me and then be aggressive and obnoxious and try to, you know, play devil's advocate and think I'm going to stroke your ego, because I'm not.
Right. Know? Yeah, good for you. No, absolutely. So what is your advice? What should people do?
I think just, okay, so I cycle through it much faster now than I did. I went to the beach for a few hours. I breathed. And
that's a good
grounded.
One. Take
yeah.
A just pause.
Wow. Salt air is just tremendous when I'm in that space of what a jerk, you know,
love it.
It just cleanses, it just blows it right off. Yeah. And what I think is, again, self-kindness, self-compassion of, okay, you know, I didn't, maybe that wasn't mature. Maybe that wasn't evolved. Maybe that wasn't spiritual, but it was mean. It was human and it was authentic and it was in the moment. And that guy doesn't deserve my good opinion, my approval, my love, my energy, my time, my compassion, if he's going to treat me badly. Mm-hmm. So maybe these are his natural consequences for being a jerk. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think of it that way. I think, okay, well, right now I'm the one driving the karma bus. That's it.
Well, you're other driving. Times, yeah.
You know, people are driving the karma bus right over my toes. And that's life, you know?
Right. But you're driving your own. So
at driving least my own karma
choice.
Bus. Yeah.
Rather than exactly. having someone take away your choices. And
yeah.
I guess, well, then there's that whole thing of, I don't know, I guess it's the pop psychology thing of like, well, you know, you got to let it out, but not, do we necessarily, I mean, if somebody slaps you, do you slap them back?
Well, I mean, I was thinking about this. You're really tuning into me right now. It's awesome. So I was thinking about, okay, well, do you have to be petty and vengeful? No. However, do you owe that person to bend over backwards to explain why you acted in the way you did or reacted in the way you did? No. You know, like it can be a complete experience and they can go on to process their trigger.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it's like, I'll take responsibility for my part in that, but I'm not taking responsibility for both parts anymore. That's the graduation from people who's a doormat to self-sovereignty of like, okay, well, could I have handled it better? Sure. Can I do better in the future? Yes. Do I want to deal with this person any further in my life when there's 8 billion of us on the planet? No, I do not. Thank you. Goodbye. Next.
Well, I think, yeah, really. Oh my gosh. And social media has really exposed us to all kinds of things. But, you know, suppose you're dealing with somebody that, you know, maybe you're an acquaintance, maybe your friend, maybe it's somebody who's close to you. And you know, you're in this conflict and, you know, I think there's a tendency for us to want to not only just smooth that over, make us feel better, but we need to make them feel better so everything's back, quote, the way it was, or, you know, or that we agree.
Honestly, if I care and it's someone I do know, I will go that extra mile and I will try to explain myself or dialogue or try to understand other people's opinions or perspectives. If it's someone I've never met and maybe likely never will, I do not do that. And that for me is like, I love the idea that we're all one and that we're all here to help each other and grow and walk each other home. That's all really nice. But I'm also here to be Courtney, and Courtney doesn't put up with crap anymore because Courtney did for the first 30 years of her life and it made her sick.
Wow.
So I almost go kind of and deliberately and consciously so to the other extreme of, I don't have time for this. I don't have energy for this.
So how did it work for you the first time you had to do it?
I'll let you know in 25 years when I really mastered it. I'm still bored with it.
Okay, but I think everybody is. So don't you think? Don't you think?
It's awful. It's stomach ache. It makes you want to throw up. Sometimes I do actually throw up from the stress and tension of it. I'm not lying. And it makes, but each time it gets a little easier and you get a little better with the self-soothing self-talk. Mm-hmm. Around, okay, well, that part of you came out. And I am a big believer we're all multidimensional beings. So you can be, you know, angelic and celestial and radiant in one area and totally murky and funky in another. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just humor saves my life on a daily basis.
Oh, that's one of the things you have to do is, you know, when you're maybe not, you know, or maybe even in it, you know, have that humorous side to kind of break it up a little bit. But I think, you know, it's conflict isn't fun. And what I find the hard part is working through being able to have both sides on the table that are a disagreement and then continue to work through it to get to whatever point it is. Maybe you do agree, maybe you agree to disagree, or maybe you half agree or whatever. It's just working. That's the hard part.
I'm going to teach you a spiritual trick you're going to love. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I give this to a lot of my clients, and I should probably write about it at some point, but I'm going to talk about it right now for a minute or two. Soul talking. So when you're in conflict with anyone for any reason, for any length of time, whether it be deep and intense and longstanding or just like a flyby hater on the internet, you go up into your soul. You invite their soul to the table. You may have done something like this, you and probably the listeners. I like the twist and I'm going to add to it. So just stay with it. So you go and you kind of have a negotiation. So whatever's happening on the physical level, the, you know, 10 paragraph rants or the silent treatment, whatever's happening on the physical level, you ignore that because that is what people call ego or shadow personality or small self or whatever, monkey mind. And you go up to the place of you that only knows love. You go to that part of you that only knows unity, that only knows harmony. And you don't make your case, you don't debate, you don't try to make the other person wrong or feel guilt or shame or blame towards yourself or anyone else or the situation or ruminate on it from all different angles and logic, and you just go to the place that loves. And we'll call it even unconditional love, because there is a part of us. I never said it didn't exist. I said it's really hard to maintain on this planet at this time. Mm-hmm. You go to that soul, you know, meeting, call the meeting. Your soul is merging with their soul. You're blessing and releasing them. If you need to cut cords, do that. If you need to wash the whole interaction or energy with Saint Germain's violet flame, do that. If you want to call in your jaguar spirit animal, do that. It doesn't matter how you do it. The matter is the intention that you want peace with this person, whether it means, you know, that they go away and you never have to deal with them again, or that you just want to feel better about your part in the interaction.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
And have you ever heard of the freezing thing? This is kind of pagan, but if someone's really contentious and really obnoxious, you lovingly write their name on a little piece of paper and stick it in the freezer, because you're sticking the energy, not the person, and you can't, it won't harm the person, but you're cooling that energy off, literally.
Oh, I love that.
So
I love
those
that.
Are two tips. So you talk
great
about practical,
tips.
Right?
That's great tips. No, that's those are perfect practical things. And
I
it's
was going to be
perfect...
arguing with these people in our heads, but no. You got to go up higher, go
absolutely.
Deeper into the heart or wherever.
Absolutely.
You can find.
Well, we're actually, it's a perfect place to end, because we're at the end of our show.
Yay!
Oh my gosh, right on time. Well, thank you so much for being with us. I'm, you
my
know,
pleasure.
You'll have to come back. We'll talk a lot more.
I know, we could talk for, we could do 10
ever.
More shows.
But yeah,
great.
Exactly. For the next book.
Thank
okay,
you.
We've been listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio. We were sitting here with Courtney A. Walsh. Her book is Dear Human. Go out and buy it. She's awesome. So we'll be back next week right here on Om Times Radio. You've been listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio, conscious living for your soul. See you next time. Angel blessings to everyone.